Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending the light to us. Thank you that you've come and enabled us to see you, to see the light, to come into the light, to be rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son that you love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you today that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you have called us not only to know you, but to make you known, to shine the light that you've put in us to people all around us. And God, you're so good to us. You've blessed us. You've given us all that we need. And help us now to pass that on to others. Lord, as we look into your word now, we pray that you will encourage our hearts, challenge us, that you will teach us. And even, Lord, this morning, we ask that you will bring us more fully into the light. If there's any darkness remaining within us, would you shine your light into those places? If there's any doubt, anyone here today who has not yet seen the light of life, Jesus Christ, that you would open their eyes this morning. May this be the day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, welcome to Upper St. Clair Lions Church. Welcome to week two of our 40-day prayer journey called Seeking God for the City. This week, our focus, our theme is the light. The light. Shining the light of life in Jesus Christ to those in darkness. Seeing the light. I remember when my daughter Emily was only 3 years old and she needed glasses. We went and got her these cute little glasses. We still have them. We popped the lenses out. Our little granddaughter liked to put them on. But anyway, these little teeny glasses, Emily, just a real little child, put those glasses on and she kept looking around and pointing to things that she could finally see. It was a little bit like this. Just watch this.
We got the baby's first pair of glasses.
Okay.
He already hates it. Christian.
Christian.
Open your eyes, buddy. Hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Munchkin.
You like them?
That's what it's like when you can see, right? Being able to see is one of God's greatest blessings, isn't it? It really is. Being able to see clearly. But an infinitely greater blessing of God is spiritual sight. Being able to see the light of life in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about this week. Seeing the light. But what we're going to discover today as we look into God's word is that sometimes the blind see more than those with sight. It's true. And we see this in Jesus' life and ministry. And we're going to walk with Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. And we're going to be with him when he heals a man who is born blind. So open your Bible, turn on your device, follow along. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to talk about bringing the light to those in darkness. Sometimes the blind see more than those with sight. And as we look at this passage where Jesus encounters a blind man, we're going to see, first of all, that not everyone with sight can see. Not everyone with sight can see. Notice verse 31, Luke 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that was written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." So Jesus is traveling. He's not alone. He's with his core disciples. Luke simply calls them the 12. They're the 12, and they're on the way to Jerusalem. Now, this is what Jesus has been doing for some time. This is a prominent theme, in fact, in Luke's gospel. Over and over, he talked about Jesus going to Jerusalem. All the way back in chapter 9, when we have that amazing experience, Peter, James, and John, they're with Jesus up on a mountain, and he's transfigured before them. and Moses and Elijah appear, and they talk about Jesus going to Jerusalem. And later in that same chapter, again, the subject comes up. And it says in Luke 9:51, as the time approached for him to be taken to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That's where he's going. And this is nothing new, not new to the disciples, to the 12. One more example. In chapter 13, Luke records this. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. So I want you to know, as Luke's recording this in chapter 18, it's not a surprise, it's not a secret where he's going. He's on his way to Jerusalem. It's not even a secret why he's going there. This is at least the third time that he will be referencing with the 12 that he's going there to die. So he's on his way with the 12, and they're making their way toward Jerusalem. And verse 32 says, Jesus still speaking, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Now, Jesus is going into very great detail at this point, giving more specific information than he has to this point. However, this is all simply reporting what has been given through prophecy. And he's telling them again, he's going there to die. And they've been with him. They've been listening. They've been learning. They've been watching his miracles. You would think the 12, the core disciples, would have their eyes open. They could see, but they could not. They could not. Notice what Luke said in verse 34. The disciples did not understand this. They're blind. I mean, he's been telling them, he's telling them again. And they just don't get it. To make sure we don't miss the point, Luke repeats this two more times. He states it in three different ways so that we don't miss this important point. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. So it's not simply that they did not understand, they could not understand. They could not understand. It says they were blind. You say, well, what's up with that? The truth was hidden from them. How would that happen? Why is that? Why would it be hidden from them? It's because, listen carefully, spiritual truth, spiritual sight can only be perceived through the Spirit, not through our physical eyes, not in our natural minds. You may recall the Apostle Paul said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now, you get this, right? Before you came to Christ, what did you think of the message of the cross, the gospel? It was like nonsense to you. It didn't make sense to you. And nor does it to people in your life who don't know Jesus. You listen to the voices in our culture, to people who don't know Jesus Christ, whose spiritual eyes aren't open, and the message of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is utter nonsense. Because they're blind. They cannot see. Paul elaborates on this. He said, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Why can't he understand them? Because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual sight requires faith. It's not irrational. It's simply perceived in a different way. And those whose eyes have not been opened, they cannot see the light. They cannot see the truth. And that's why the disciples, they're with Jesus. He's telling them this, and they just simply can't accept it. They can't see it until their eyes are opened. And we see an example of this in Luke's gospel. At the end, in the last chapter, chapter 24, after Jesus' resurrection, some of you probably recall the story. Jesus, the risen Jesus, is walking with two other disciples out of Jerusalem. They're leaving the city, and they're with him, and they don't even know it's him. Until it says, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And that's what I'm trying to convey to you today. We have to understand that not everyone with sight can see. Not everyone with sight can see, and that's why it's so important that we pray, and we're going to talk more about that in just a moment, that we pray for those who can't see. The second thing we notice here in this text is that sometimes the blind see the light. Sometimes the blind see the light. So Jesus is with the 12, his core disciples. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And we pick up the story now in verse 35 as a crowd assembles and they approach the village of Jericho. As they approach Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now I imagine he was there every single day, taking up his position. We don't even know his name. We simply know he's blind. He cannot see. And he's there as this group comes through, this crowd that's now gathered following Jesus. And he can pick up something different than a typical day. And it says in verse 36, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what's happening? There's more commotion, more noise, more dust being stirred up. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now notice who they referred Jesus, how they identified him. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Not Jesus the Son of Man, as referenced already in verse 31. Not Jesus the Messiah, not Jesus the Son of God, but Jesus of Nazareth. Just describing where he's from. You know, Bob from Pittsburgh, right? It was Jesus from Nazareth. Because sometimes those who can see, they're really blind. But those who are blind can actually see. Because this man, though blind, he could see something they could not. Notice verse 38, how he called out to Jesus. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Not Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, Son of David. In other words, Jesus, the promised one who would come to sit on the throne of David, the Messiah, he could see. He understood who he was. And that's why he called out to him for mercy. It's interesting, isn't it? Those who can see sometimes can't. But those who can't see can see other things. Luke said those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. They said, shut up, be quiet, leave him alone. And maybe you've noticed that. When you come to see the light, those who can't see, sometimes they don't understand and there's tension that's created. We just studied the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And we learn how to be contagious Christians. But sometimes it's just difficult because when you can see and others can't, sometimes it's like, what fellowship does light have with darkness, as the Bible says, and there's difficulties and tensions. And this man can see, he's calling out to Jesus, and they're telling him, just be quiet. But he would not be denied. As we just shouted louder, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that a beautiful statement? Beautiful question that he asked. The blind man asked for mercy, and Jesus said, what specifically do you want me to do? In what way do you want me to apply my mercy to you? And that's what he may be saying to you today. Oh, he's so merciful. Isn't he good? He's so good. And he wants to dispense his mercy to you today in some way. To touch you. And he would simply say to you, what do you want me to do for you? And so often we do not have because we do not ask. And so my friends, oh, go to the one who is full of mercy and bring your needs to him. He could see. He knew who he was looking at with the eyes of faith. But what he asked for was the restoration of his physical sight. Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they glorified, they praised God. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But just let that scene settle in your mind. Like that little boy, his eyes is like all of a sudden he can see. And he's filled with wonder and he jumps and praises God and he follows Jesus. I'm convinced that's what God wants to do to the people in your life. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to help them see the light of life in Jesus Christ. And that's why we're praying. That's why we're seeking God for the city. And that's really what I would say now. What does this have to do with us, specifically right now? This idea that Jesus came as the light of the world, and he came to rescue people from the dominion of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of the Son, into the kingdom of light. What do we do about that? What does that have to do with us? Well, that's what we're seeking God for the people around us in our community, in our city, that they will have their eyes opened. And so I'd like to share with you four specific ways that we can seek God for the city. Seek God for your friends, your neighbors, the people in your life who do not see the light of life in Jesus Christ. Number one, we need to pray for Satan to be bound. For Satan to be bound. You say, well, Bob, what in the world are you talking about? What does it have to do with this? Well, listen, do you know? Did you know that the Bible says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ? Did you know that? He's the prince of darkness, and he's holding them captive in darkness. And it literally says he's put a veil over their eyes. And you wonder why it's foolishness, and they're like, what's wrong with you? Why do you believe that nonsense? This is the 21st century. We believe in science. You believe in that book. It's because they're held prisoner. And we need to go and storm the gates of heaven. And we need to say, oh, God, would you set them free? Bind Satan in Jesus' name. Loose them. Their eternal life is at stake. And we have the privilege of seeking God on their behalf, of interceding and praying for them. And so that's the first thing we can do, is pray for Satan to be bound. Secondly, we pray for their hearts to be softened. You may be thinking, and it may have crossed your mind, well, okay, let's see. If blind people can't see, it's not that they just don't see, they can't see. And if Satan is holding them prisoner, well, then they're really not responsible, right? Wrong. Because blindness, spiritual blindness, is willful. It's willful. What was it Jesus said? Light has come. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men, what? Love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that's sometimes why they'll shut you down and shut you up. And they'll try to put something over the light that you're trying to put forth. Because it's convicting to them. And Paul wrote about this. He said the Gentiles, those who are outside of Christ, are darkened in their understanding. Listen, they're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God, because of the ignorances that is in them, listen, due to the hardening of their hearts. You know, it's possible you're here today and your heart's a little bit hard. And you're sitting there thinking, I don't know if I believe what you're saying. I'm not sure I agree with you. I'm not sure this is true. I'm glad you're here. And I'm simply saying, keep an open mind and pursue the truth. And there are people in your life, I'm guessing, where you work, where you live, there are people in your life and their hearts are pretty hard. Maybe some people in your family. And they maybe heard the truth and they just kind of said, no, thank you. And their heart has grown cold and they've walked away. My friends, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them and pray for their hearts to be softened, their hearts to be broken before God and open so that they will receive the light. It's not that they can't, it's that they won't. So we need to pray for their heart to be softened. So number one, for Satan to be bound. Number two, their hearts to be softened. And then number three, we simply need to pray for their eyes to be opened. Those two men on the way to Emmaus, I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, they're sitting there looking at him, and all of a sudden it says, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And I get it because it's happened to me. And you kind of understand it, but on some level, I don't really understand it, other than I know that God has to do it and his spirit. And that's why we must pray, we must pray, we must pray. Because it's a work of the Spirit of God to open their eyes. So we pray. And that's what this Seek God with the City is all about. And now in this coming week, if you don't have the book, the little prayer guide, Seek God for the City, you can just go on to the app store and you can download the app by that name, Seek God for the City 2019. It's 99 cents and you can follow along. And this week you can pray these kinds of prayers for the light to come to those in darkness. But there's one other thing we can do besides pray. And that is we can shine the light like we were reading about or singing about. We shine the light. And when you live for Jesus and you obey him and you love him with all of your heart, you're just like this little light bulb shining. And it's displaying the glory of God. And that's what we're called to do and to be the light. Jesus said it very clearly, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. John, in his gospel, he described the birth of Jesus differently than the other gospel writers. He said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he said in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus came. It's the light of men. And long before he was born, Isaiah prophesied of his arrival. And this is how he described it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And what is the effect of that light? You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice because you, as people rejoice, before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. And that's really what it's about, is setting prisoners free out of darkness into the light, and we rejoice at who God is. We're all able to sing, once I was blind, but now I can see. And my friends, I want you to picture in your mind's eye those people in your life who are today prisoners of darkness, who do not see the light. And I want a picture in your mind, I want you to have a picture in your mind of them seeing the light and experiencing the joy, the pure joy of sight, of seeing the light of Jesus. Maybe it'll look a little bit like this.
כאילו הוא רואה פעם של הבחים שלו.
That's what God wants to do for those who are in darkness. To see. To truly see. And to experience life in Jesus. And that's what's at stake, my friends. We need to pray. And that's what Seek God for the City is all about. We mentioned last week we're going to have each Sunday during this 40 days, one of our elders come and lead in prayer. And today, John Buslaki is going to come at this time and lead us. And then we're going to sing our closing song.
Lord God, guide us. Fill us with your spirit, O God. Help us to walk in the light, O God. And not only that, but to share the light with others. We just pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.